Tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? It's time to simplify. Whether you own a big business or a small startup, Empower Payments can save you money. Streamline your payment process while saving money today with Empower Payments. Learn more at empowerpayments.com. That's empowerpayments.com.
And now, doing an excellent job of feeding his cold, Soren Petro.
Right you are, Kay. Right you are. Petro, the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Matt Llewellyn here at 23rd Street Brewery. You're not going to find a better human being. Has such a great establishment here, the 23rd Street Brewery. My favorite spot to come to here in Lawrence. And great spot to come watch your KU basketball games. Get together for happy hour. You know, George Washington will get you their craft beers. Happy hour is 3 to 5 every day. They're up brewing right now, the Brewmasters, brewing beers as we speak. Daily lunch specials. Even got the express lunch. A lot of their great sandwiches. Get a half a sandwich, a soup, a salad, or get a salad. And a soup, or get some of their pub chips. It is a great express lunch. We'd love to see you here today. They'd love to see you here today for some lunch. While we're here, we'll be broadcasting at the 23rd Street Brewery until 2 o'clock, 3512 West Clinton Parkway. That is the GPS address. If you're going to be going up or down K-10 today and going to be swinging by here and like, hey, I'm going to stop off for a little lunch. Come on in. We'd love to see you. We're at the I can't call it the Knights of the Round Table. Fatties of the Round Table. In the back corner, yeah.
Skinny at the Round Table as well.
We're the number 100 when you get here. Kyle Huppy running the operation is the number one. Curtis Siebold authoring the Sports Centers is the zero, and then I'm the other zero. Our shape is round. You get it, Kyle? Yours is linear, thinner. Ours is rounder.
More vertical than we are.
Yes. We're vertically challenged in many ways. You have a horizontal deficiency that we do not possess. So we'd love for you to come out here and hang out. I am paying off a wager, and I knew I was going to lose, but when what I lose is coming out and hanging out at 23rd Street Brewery, fine.
It's a pretty good price.
Brian Haney and I, of course, the voice of the Jayhawks, who will join us a little bit later on as we get ready for Kansas and TCU tonight. You'll hear that game right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. The bet was KU versus Syracuse, and I don't even remember what I got if I won, but we knew I wasn't going to win. But when they played in Miami, and of course, KU just put an absolute beat down on my orange, I would have to come out here and, talk KU. And so that's fine. You know, no worries on that. So I pay off today. I am thrilled to be here. Come up here and see Matt and all his great staff. They take care of us unbelievably. And, yes, he came in early and has already begun feeding us. I don't know that we needed extra, but that's just how Matt rolls, you know. Matt and I go way back to our Boston trip. And I first met Matt when we went out to unsuccessfully watch the Royals drop every game in Boston, part of their awful beginning to the 2004 season. But we had a good time. Screw them. We had a great time. And so his wonderful 23rd Street Brewery, iconic location here in Lawrence. We'd love to see you out here today. Again, all the KU games, all the games, period, are on TVs in every direction. You never have a bad view at the 23rd Street Brewery, plus great atmosphere, wonderful service, and incredible food. When you think of a brewery, you think, okay, it's just all about the beers, but the food is absolutely phenomenal. And all kinds of different special items on the menu for you to choose from. The sandwiches, you know, my favorite. We talked about it. Matt brought it down when he was down at the station the other day. My tuna appetizer is just absolutely phenomenal. If you love the tuna, this is sashimi-grade tuna served raw and diced with cucumbers, sesame seeds, avocado, scallions, ponzu. Don't even know what it is. Don't know what it is. Don't matter. Soy sauce? Oh, okay. Fancy soy sauce. It's better than soy sauce.
No.
It's soy sauce to the third power.
I see your soy sauce and raise you ponzu.
And it's served with these crackers. It is absolutely wonderful. You will love it. It's great. If you love sushi, if you love tuna, you have to get this. And I don't know how but bring help, because you're not going to tackle it by yourself. I tried to rock and roll a meal out of it. I could not finish it. I was taking home just as a meal. I couldn't finish it, but everything from their pizzas to their burgers, everything is absolutely wonderful. The pasta, you can come out and get the Bill Self which is, of course, the made-from-scratch yes. mac and cheese topped with buffalo chicken tenders.
That is my jam.
So good. So good.
That's the thing you're talking about, the beers. I don't even drink, and I love this place because the food is so good.
The food is great. The food is great. And a great selection of beers. If you love the craft beers, brewed right here in-house. Matt's been doing it for years. He is the best in the business. So come on out. We'd love to see you here today. You can look them up online at brew23.com. That's brew23.com. They're serving food till 10 o'clock every night, open till 11. And that happy hour, 3 to 5, best in Lawrence. George Washington gets you a craft beer. That's it. Game over. Mic drop. Done. Whoever else thinks they're doing better is just lying to you. That's it. You can't do better. You cannot do better than that. So we'll see you here at 23rd Street Brewery. A lot coming your way today here. Part of the deal, we will talk to Shane Zinger a little bit later on. He'll be with us in the noon hour after Doug Gottlieb joins us. And in the 1 o'clock hour, Brian Haney will be here, and linebacker Joe Dineen will be here. So we will talk some Rock Chalk Jayhawk. Before that, Mick Schaefer is going to be with us. We'll play the feud, and Matt has agreed to play. We're on a non-line. There's technical reasons why. Where it gives us, if you've heard us, sometimes we have problems. Depends on what kind of the world has moved away from the analog phone line, which is actually still the easiest and best way for us to broadcast. We now do it, you know, sending it out without the line, but it creates like a delay, like a 1 second delay, so it's harder to take calls. And we realized when we played the feud up at was it Worth or where were we that we had a delay.
It was Worth.
And we, like, clearly had buzzed in first, we thought, on our end. And Rob was saying the listener had buzzed in because he was getting it first. That's a little hard. So Matt's going to play the feud coming up here in a little bit with Mick Schaefer, who will be with us in the 11 o'clock hour. So a lot coming your way today. Doug Gottlieb, Shane Zinger, Brian Haney, Joe Dineen, Mick Schaefer in the next hour. A lot of topics to get to. And, you know, I'm not going to say the sports scene slows down a little bit, but right now is the period where neither one of our local, none of our three local major league professional teams is playing. So college basketball certainly becomes the focus. And then what those teams are doing in the offseason, also a focus. But it can be a little bit slower. I mean, I was jotting down the topics, and I think we've got a lot of them. And I'm going to start with Bill Self, but not really talk just Kansas. Now, I am open to the idea that the comments, which you may have heard, but we'll refresh your memory here in a second, and we'll take them in order, Rob. You might have heard the comments. If not, like I said, we'll play them again. But I am interested in, do you think this will work, or is Bill Self making a mistake? Good luck with that, announcing that Bill Self is screwing things up. I want to hear that one, because that's not a ground I'm willing to stand on. But I'll listen to somebody who's like, yeah, he's killing this team. He's not used to having a team that's a little less talented, not as big inside, and so he's letting his frustrations boil over, and he's going to cost this team. I'll listen to that. I will. I get it. If it weren't Bill Self, if it were Bruce Weber, if it were Konzo Martin, we'd absolutely be talking about that. With 13 consecutive conference championships, two finals games appearances, and a national championship, the man is virtually beyond reproach. So if we do come to the conclusion he's doing the right thing, does this work elsewhere? Because we know that Bill Self's approach and what he said yesterday about his team and about his players is diametrically different than what Andy Reid will do. Is it a college thing versus a pro thing? Or could Andy Reid be better served by calling out his players from time to time, or even his coaching staff? And, you know, he always gives the cursory, we got to coach better. We got to, yeah, okay, but it's we. Starts with him, which we get, and I do appreciate that he takes it upon himself, but that goes without saying, right? I'm not saying go out and bury, you know, like, well, you know, I handle the offense, the defense screwed us. He can't do that. That's obviously going to kill the team. Dick Vermeil was the same way. Obviously an offensive-minded coach. They couldn't get the defense going. He never buried the defense. He said, well, you know, if we scored a touchdown instead of those two field goals, you know, we touchdowns both times, we're not even talking about this. Well, you hung 38 on the board and lost. I mean, that's not supposed to happen, for crying out loud. Nonetheless, let's hear what Bill Self had to say, and then we'll talk about whether or not Andy Reid and some of the NFL coaches that I think are more Bill Self-like, and whether or not that is a better approach for Andy Reid to take moving forward. So let's start with his first comments. Bill Self talking about changes, that the changes to the lineup are due to a lack of effort from certain players.
I think we have a couple of guys, starters, that obviously don't try very hard. And we're going to make some changes in our lineup, and at least one change. Don't have a lot of options to do more than that. But it'd be nice to have guys, compete and play to their athletic ability and those sorts of things. And so we're gonna try to do that. Mitch certainly deserves the opportunity to play. He tries harder than he and Svi and Devontae try harder than anybody else. So we're going to get him out there.
You mean to start?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, to start.
What do you think it is that's going on?
I don't know. You know, we've lost five games this year, and losing five games this time of year is not a bad thing. I mean, everybody across America, with the exception of three schools, are losing games, and there's certainly some that are a lot more talented than us that are losing games too. But when you look back to why we've lost some games, it's been attitude. It's been focus. It's been preparation. It's been selfishness. It's been effort. It's been energy. It's been intensity. It's been competitiveness or lack thereof. And so you know, but you're not going to have that great for all 23 games. I know that. But certainly we should be better in those areas than what we have been consistently, especially with guys that have been around here. And know that what it takes to win at a pretty high level.
Is changing the lineup enough to fix?
No, I don't know. I don't know that it fixes it. I don't know that it fixes it at all. And I'm not predicting unbelievable results from it. But I will predict the guys that start will try harder than the guys who started last game.
All right, there's Bill Self talking about his lineup changes. Mitch Lightfoot in for LeGerald Vick is basically the change he's going to make. You talked about he doesn't have a lot of different options. Next one. Bill Self talking about some of his guys have played. I don't think this is right. They haven't played selfish basketball. They haven't played for anybody is basically what he got at.
Not carrying out an assignment. Running or executing a play hard because you know it's not for you. You know, things like that. We just haven't played. We haven't. You know, when you look at the last game, and of course, we got to put it behind us. But the reality of it is, if you're going to look at it and be honest assessment, there's a lot of reasons after you study the tape why we did not win the other day. One of them, Oklahoma State was quicker, more athletic, obviously better prepared, and certainly better than us. But a lot of it is that we allow that to happen too.
You've talked to us about Mitch's athleticism in the past a little bit, but you mentioned his effort level earlier when you talked about him. Could you expand on that? What do you see from Mitch maybe in practice, in games, that impresses you effort-wise?
Activity. You know, he actually tries to rebound. He actually tries to block a shot. He'll actually run a guy down in transition and try to make a play. Mitch is going to screw up. We all screw up. Mitch is going to screw up, but at least he's going to screw up going hard, you know, and that, which doesn't guarantee that he's going to play well. I'm not saying that at all, but I know as a staff, it's more comforting to know that the guys you out there will at least, you know, try their butt off to try to do what's best for Kansas and best for our team. And we know Mitch is always going to do that.
Well, I think those are pretty sharp comments. I mean, he's clearly calling out a large portion of his team and making it clear that their effort hasn't been good enough. And that, to me, is striking commentary. It's a motivational tactic, yes. He's using the media to try to get to his players. It's something we wouldn't hear from a lot of different coaches, right?
No.
But I do think the ring he can tap on the podium, the 13 conference titles, the other Final Four, the what seems like, I don't know, what is he at, 10 Elite Eights? I know he went at Tulsa, he went at Illinois, and he's got
something like that, yeah.
Kansas. I mean, probably not quite that high, maybe 7, 8, somewhere in that range. You know, he's got the resume to back it up. There's no doubt about that. But I will tell you that it will be – I'm intrigued by whether or not this is a tactic that should be used more, right? I've heard Ned Yost will get after guys behind closed doors, but are there times that you need to publicly shame somebody? Right? Players for the Royals is Mike Moustakas need to be called out for not being in the best physical condition? Does, you know, Alcides Escobar need to be called out to to be more patient at the plate? Does, you know, whatever it might be. I don't know. Baseball, I don't think as much. I definitely think every sport has its own culture, and I think there are different approaches to it. But if there is a sport that you would think could lend itself to this approach, I thought immediately of Andy Reid. And I also came away thinking, now I know what you could say, is, well, Bill Self hasn't won. He's won one. He's won one. He's played for two. That's one more win and one more time playing for it than Andy Reid has in his yep. respective sport. So his resume is certainly better than Andy Reid's resume. So if you want to compare those up. And so I started thinking, okay, who are some NFL guys that might reflect the approach Bill Self is taking with this team right now? And the first guy that came to mind for me was Bill Parcells.
Oh, yeah.
And Bill Parcells did not have a problem, you know, calling, was it not Ted Ginn, who was the wideout from Ohio State?
Terry Glenn.
She.
Yeah.
I mean, which today, political correctness, you would really be crushed. But he was making a statement that this guy's not tough enough, that he won't go out and get it done. Bill Parcells absolutely used that kind of psychology. And if you watch the Two Bills documentary, which was very good, you know, one of the things you picked up on and one of the things that was said in that is that that's exactly what Parcells did. He challenged players better than anybody else. And I would pose the question, do the Chiefs need Andy Reid to challenge his coaching staff more? Do they need him to challenge his players more? Did he not challenge Alex Smith to go down the field more and make more plays? Did he not challenge his defensive players to pick it up and get it done? Did he not challenge his defensive coaching staff? Are they soft? I mean, Bill Self makes a point and has said many times that his team is soft and that, you know, what he's trying to accomplish is he wants a tough team. There is no doubt that they are – the Chiefs and Pittsburgh Steelers are light years apart as far as the physicality of the game. Now, do the Steelers go too far? Do they get to the point to where they're actually brutalizing opposing teams, going beyond the rules? Yes, I think so. Yes, I think they go for headshots. Yes, I think they hit quarterbacks late. I think that is part of what they do. And I don't think that's right, but I think even within the rules, and maybe being more physical is what takes you beyond that, but within the rules, the Pittsburgh Steelers are a much more physical team. You watch those games, you cannot deny it. The Pittsburgh Steelers have guys that when a receiver or runner is going down, he's definitely going to go down. If they think they can get a shot in on him before he goes down, they're laying that extra shot. They don't want to tackle you. They want to drive you back 3 yards and bury you in the ground. The Chiefs are happy to be pulled along for 2 or 3 yards and eventually wear the guy down like you would when 5 second graders got a hold of the same leg of an adult and eventually he just couldn't move it and go down. That's kind of the tackling mindset of the Chiefs. The Steelers lay the wood. The only guy, there was one game where I really thought the Chiefs brought it, and I don't even remember which game it was now. Reggie Ragland in particular was the one guy, and coming from Alabama, I'm not shocked that he was the guy who put a hit on somebody, wrapped him up, had him around the lower rib cage area, and tried to form tackle, pick him up and drive him back and plant him in the ground.
Probably the Giants game.
No.
It wasn't?
No, it was after that.
Was it after that?
It was what game they won.
Bills game?
It was one of those last four.
I know he was hitting hard in the Bills game. They lost that one, though.
Was it? Maybe that was
it. Was his former team. I thought he came after strong.
I know who you're talking about, though.
But that was
the one guy that was hitting.
He's the one guy saw some physicality. Now, I will say this. I'll give the Chiefs a break. There was no Eric Berry. And Eric Berry is a physical, tough player. And they absolutely missed his presence. And I think it's clear. We've looked at it. We talked about it every year until this year that Eric Berry had been hurt. The Chiefs didn't make the playoffs. I know some of those were under, you know, Todd Haley and Romeo Crennel. But they had made it the year before. He went down. They didn't make it. The second year under Andy Reid, they went 9-7. He was down. They didn't make it. This year they made it, but didn't really do much, and frankly petered out on a really good start.
Mm-hmm.
I think they desperately miss his physicality, but I think he's the only guy. He and Reggie Ragland are the only guys that I would say really bring it. Chris Jones has the tools, but I don't think he brings it. D4 definitely doesn't bring it. He has no. Justin Houston is a physical player.
Yeah.
You don't see him really wreck guys in the run because he's usually blowing up two blockers that he's having to take on by himself, and nobody does a better job of setting the edge. I mean, nobody does a better job, even now. If he has lost a step or the knee injuries have worn him down, whatever, fine. nobody sets the edge like Justin Houston. He is an absolute beast. So I would say Houston, Raglan showed some signs finally, and Eric Berry. That's it for physicality. And it's clear to me the Chiefs have to get tougher and more physical if they're going to be a better team. I think that, but then I look back and go, well, when did you really see the Eagles lay the wood against the Patriots? Now, frankly, the Eagles' defense sucked, except for about one play. I heard Jeff Chedia say it when we were driving up here to 23rd Street Brewery. I thought it was a great point, you know, and why he was giving credit to Nick Foles. He said, really, defensively, they made one play. I mean, the Patriots never punted, so it wasn't like the great defense got it done.
That was the only turnover.
Doug Peterson matched wits with Josh McDaniels and Bill Belichick, and Nick Foles shot it out with Tom Brady and came out standing on top. Would he have if they didn't get the sack from him? I don't know. I mean, I would take my chances at the Eagles. I felt like the Eagles could keep him from seven and maybe get the win, but I don't know. Maybe that's foolish. Maybe that game was destined for overtime, and whoever won the coin flip was going to go down, score a touchdown, and that was going to be game over. I don't know. They got the one play. The Eagles kind of fly in the face of that. But I know this. Bill Parcells' teams were tough. They'd hit some people. Bill Belichick teams hit some people. They're not the Steelers, but they sure as hell hit harder than the Chiefs. Bill Self preaches toughness, and he backs it up. He talks tough. He talks tough. I don't know that Andy Reid talks tough. And just the honesty of Bill Self. You know, listen, I got some feedback from people about the Dayton Moore interview. And somebody who I really respect their opinion said to me, he heard it on the podcast, and he texted me, and he said, man, I just love Dayton Moore. He goes, direct answers to direct questions. Except for, of course, the one time when he goes, you asked me a direct question, I like to give you a direct answer, but I can't, because he didn't want to get into the dollar figures of where they are with the Hosmer deal. I totally get it. My job to ask.
But even there, it was a direct
response. But it was a direct answer. I'd like to give this to you, but that's not the best thing for the ball club right now. Totally get it. But everywhere else, he was amazingly direct. He was so direct that MLB Network is running that interview today, or snippets of it, not the whole interview, but snippets of it, because they went, wow, here's a guy who's just totally honest and blunt. And, you know, Dayton Moore is not falling apart. He won a championship with that direct, honest approach. I do believe Andy Reid respects the fans and appreciates the fans. I do believe he respects the media and appreciates the job that we do. I do believe that he is comfortable in his ways and has reached a level of success where he is not held accountable by the organization to step forward and speak frankly to the media and the fans. And whether that has made him complacent because he can get away with that because of the resume, impressive resume, not championship resume, I don't know. But I do believe this. Bill Self is as engaging with the media as you can get. And he's got a title and 13 conference championships under his belt and counting. And yet he can be engaging, honest, and direct. Andy Reid could use a little bit of that. Because I got to believe that they walk away from those meetings. They walk away. He walks out of those media sessions over to the meetings, and they don't get down to, it's nut-cutting time, fellas. This guy sucks. You sucked. Our coverage sucked. Our pressure sucked. I don't think that ever comes out. I think there's a complacency. We're all in it together. Come on, guys, pitch in. We'll all work on it. Sometimes people need to be kicked in the ass. That's life. I don't care what you do. Salespeople, I talk a lot about sales because I got a lot of people that are in sales. And frankly, everybody's job's got a little bit of sales. You get comfortable. Who kicks you beyond that comfort range? Hey, I'm making 40 grand, or I'm making 80 grand, or I'm making 120. I'm just going to manage what I got. It's why managers constantly put an extra percent or two, or 20, I don't know how it works in businesses, on new business. Because, yeah, we got a client, we're working, we're sending them our parts, whatever it is, but we need to go get new business. We've got to grow our business. That's new business. And that's the hardest thing for salespeople is to go get new business. Andy Reid's figured out the formula for winning between 10 and 12 games. He's figured out the formula for winning division titles. He has not been able to reverse engineer and figure out the formula for winning a championship. I'm open to the fact that he's got a gunslinger with a big arm that's going to freelance a little bit and take some plays that were just, yeah, and make them big plays. I'm open to that. I'm open to the fact that Brett Veach is going to be a rock star talent evaluator, and they're going to put better talent out there, and his system, the way it works right now, will get it done. I'm open to it. But I'm also terrified that Andy Reid is what he is. And like Jeff Chedia said, no one's coached this long and won their first Super Bowl. There is a precedent to it. Bill Self is a rock star in the world of college basketball. And part of it is because he's direct, he's honest, and he's upfront, and he is not afraid to challenge his team behind closed doors, which if you hear the stories of their practices, they are legendary. But he'll also challenge them up front, in person, in public, and with the media and fans. 913-3810-810. We start there. We're at the 23rd Street Brewery, already eating like kings. You can come out here and enjoy a great lunch here at the 23rd Street Brewery. Doors open at 11. They close at 11 as well. Food served till 10 o'clock. It's your hot spot to come watch KU basketball. If you're not going over to Allen Fieldhouse, come here to the 23rd Street Brewery in Lawrence.